This is Digital Story Podcast number 807, September 7th, 2021. Today's theme is Getting From Here to There, an update from Maui. I'm Derek Story. Despite all the reports of travel challenges, most of them can be overcome with a bit of extra planning. But what exactly do you need to know and be prepared for as you travel from here to there? I have a number of tips to share with you for Hawaii or anywhere else on today's TDS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. So I'm recording this from Maui. Yes, Maui, one of my favorite places. Those of you who have been listening over the years know that I come here about every 2 years. I have a place to stay, and I just love it. Now, this year has been different than other years, and hence the podcast, right? But in terms of weather, oh, it's been fantastic. I've been a light breeze most of the days, sometimes a moderate breeze, which prevented me from getting in the ocean until this morning. This morning, I got up and it was calm. The air was still. Grabbed my fins and headed to the shore. Got some beautiful pictures. Lovely fish. Water was clear and nice and warm as always. So now I'm really feeling like I'm having the total Maui experience. But getting here was much different, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, I'm focusing on Hawaii right now because I have just been through that process, but I've been talking to other people as well who have been traveling, and there are many parallels. In other words, in some ways, the workflow for getting from here to there is very similar. Regardless of where you're going, you just fill different information in the blanks. So let's talk about some of those blanks today, because I think this is going to be a situation that we have to deal with for some time still. I mean, many of us thought that maybe by this time we would be a little bit more in the clear and able to travel a bit more freely. We can still travel. We just have to take many precautions and lots of planning. And let's talk about some of those things right now. So I have five tips, and they're all pretty solid. They've all been tested. And the first one is plan further out than ever. Further out than ever. And this has been really interesting here in Hawaii because when I come to the same place all the time. I'm on the Lahaina side, so a little bit up from there in Kaanapali. And I know the area well. I mean, I know where to go eat. I know where to get my groceries. I know the snorkeling spots. I know all the stuff, right? When you've been going somewhere for 15 years, you get to know it a bit. So I know this area well. However, how I had to approach things this time have been different than all those other years. And the main thing has been around, you know, planning and reservations. So for instance, rental car reservations pushed further out and they're more expensive. That's just the way that is. But where I almost had a bad situation is that with restaurants, I don't go out to eat a whole bunch here, but we do like to go out a couple times during our stay. And normally what I would do is, you know, in the morning sort of figure out, oh, let's go out tonight. And then you say, hey, we want to go here, we want to go there. Call them up or go on Open Table. Reserve a table for the time slot that you want. And you're in business as long as you do it early in the day. Well, I had friends who live in the islands here, and they were all telling me the same thing, which is, you can't do that. That doesn't work. Not now. Maybe someday again. In fact, you should be making reservations for important evenings or important events before you even get on the plane. And I was going, really? I've never had to do that before. But that was the case. And in my situation, I was working about 10 days out, 12 days out from when I wanted reservations. I was on Open Table, and I was literally seeing reservations disappear while I was debating between the different spots and the different time slots. It was going that fast. And you know how sometimes when you go on, let's say, OpenTable, and they say, you know, 15 people have visited this in the last hour, 16 people, you know, whatever it may be. I was seeing things like 120 people have visited this in the last hour. I mean, it was numbers like that. So fortunately, I did get the reservations that I needed to get, but believe me, they disappeared, and I'm not exaggerating, within minutes after I got them. So for instance, if I had one at 6:45 and there happened to be one at 6:15 and maybe 7:30, by the time I finished and went back just to look at things, those other two were gone. Those other two were gone. So it went that quickly. So just in general, for anything that's important, evening out, car rental, whatever it may be, something that requires a reservation, get those reservations as early as possible, way before you get on the plane. The next thing is you have to learn the rules of the road for where you're going. And again, I'm going to use Hawaii as an example because I have just been through this. But, you know, they really want to know what's going on with you before they let you into the state. And that's anywhere in the state. So they have actually set up a website where you go and you upload your travel itinerary. And then after that, you upload your vaccination card. And with all the information around it, including, you know, what lot number, what date you had, your immunizations, all that sort of stuff. If you're not vaccinated, then you have to load a COVID test within a certain amount of time. I don't know exactly what that is because I am vaccinated, but it's fairly tight from when you get on the plane. All that information has to be in there. And then 24 hours before you get on the plane, within 24 hours, not outside of 24 hours, you have to fill out a health survey as well. This is all on the same site, so you already have basically a record going. And the last step is this health survey. And basically, they're looking for symptoms and any changes in your health. You complete that. And then that completes the trifecta that includes your travel itinerary, your vaccination information, and the health survey. And then they send you a barcode. It's actually a QR code. A QR code that you have ready on your phone when you are at the airport. Now, I was lucky. I'm flying Alaska Airlines. So we were able to get our wristbands. You need a wristband in this case to bypass all the survey stuff at the airport. We were able to get our wristband before we got on the plane. Some airlines don't have that service, and after you get off, you get in line, you show them your QR code, you get your wristband, and then you can proceed. But there is no proceeding until you have gone through the steps. Now, if you don't do that ahead of time, and that's the point of this second topic, if you don't do that ahead of time, then you have to take care of all of that at the airport. And you can imagine how long that can take. That can really hang you up. So here you are, you've just landed, you're all excited, you're ready to get to your, you know, final destination, your room, whatever it happens to be. And then you have to spend 2 hours at the airport dealing with this stuff. That's not fun. And you can't get to your baggage, by the way. You cannot get to your baggage until you clear this, until you clear the health information. So that means your bag is either spinning around on the carousel or they pulled it off, and then you have to fetch that as well. So make sure wherever you're going that you know the rules of the road. I suggest starting with an official site. I think each state, each country has an official travel site. Start there, see what you need to do, and take care of it before you leave for the airport. You'll be so happy that you did. We did, and we breezed through, but we saw some very long lines of people who weren't prepared, and they're probably still there, right? They're probably still there. Okay, so that's number two. Learn the rules of the road for where you're going. Number three, bring lots of masks. And I strongly recommend bringing a variety of masks. And at this point, it's interesting how masks are for me. I have different masks for different situations. I have masks that go with, let's say, when I'm going out to eat. And I have masks when I have to have a mask on for a long period of time that's more breathable. And I have a mask I can carry my board shorts that's made out of material, so when I go swimming, all it does is get wet, but it doesn't hurt it. So I can pull it out of my board shorts when I want to go get a smoothie or something afterwards. So I have all these different masks. So have the masks that you need and have backups, because everywhere here requires masks. And I'm not talking about just, you know, inside in an elevator, but I'm talking about everywhere inside. And then many of the locations outside are requiring masks, and you just have to be ready. Have a couple. I broke one mask when I was going through TSA at the airport because he wanted to see my face. And, you know, so you're in this line, you're trying to move fast. So I just pull my mask out and went to pull it down so he could see my face, and I snapped one of the straps. Now, if I only had one mask, that's the beginning of the trip, and I'm in for a bit of a hassle after that, right? So, in other words, you have to go somewhere, buy a mask, yada, yada, yada. So have plenty of masks, have masks that you like, have masks that fit, and have masks for those situations when you have to have one on for a long time so you can be comfortable. It's just the way that it is. Everyone's wearing them here, and I think it makes everyone feel better about being in indoor spaces especially. The fourth thing, get in a patient frame of mind, and I cannot emphasize this enough. Now, it's a bit easier when you're on vacation than when it's a business trip, right? And you have to be somewhere sometime, and you have clients, and you have all that kind of stuff. But I've noticed that people, even on vacation, sometimes lose their patient frame of mind. And the reason being is things just move slower. They move slower. In Maui, things move slow already, right? So now there's even more slowness. And a lot of it is because the services that we depend on, regardless if they're transportation, food, accommodations, whatever they happen to be, the services have fewer people. There are just fewer people. They're understaffed. They're running skeleton crews. It goes on and on. And the folks that are working are doing the best they can. And I have seen that here. It has been very impressive how the folks that are helping us, you know, get through each day have such a great attitude. And I feel like, you know, at least on our side of things, we can reciprocate by having a honorable and friendly attitude back and respect them. Respect them, right? Respect the work that they're doing. One of the cool signs that I saw, and I like the sign a lot, it said, "Please be kind to the employees who showed up to work to help you." And that's it. You know, just the folks that are there are the folks that showed up. They're the folks that came to work. They're the folks that, you know, are doing the things that we need. So if they're showing up, then we need to be, you know, respectful of them and give them a chance to do their job, because they're probably doing their job under constrained resources, and it's probably not the best situation for them either. So you just need patience all the way around. Now, here's the thing that I noticed. If you get in a patient frame of mind, things suddenly go a lot smoother. They really do. They go a lot smoother, and it just works. Now, again, this is easier when you're on vacation than when you're on a business trip. So if you're on a business trip, I think you really need to figure out your strategy for maintaining your patience, because there will be things that go wrong or be too slow or whatever it happens to be. I have seen quite a few here, things that were unexpected, and so far I've managed to roll through them. Knock on wood that I will be able to continue to do that. And finally, number five, get creative. And this has been very interesting for me. So it's not business as usual. It's not vacation as usual, travel as usual. A lot of things are different, as I've been talking about. And so, for instance, if I'm used to going, let's say, on vacation to a restaurant every night or go out to lunch every day, whatever it happens to be, then that's not a feasible route right now because of the constrained resources. So a way to get creative is to explore, and what we have done here is explored beach parks that we've never had a chance to get to before. So go to the grocery store and get groceries, stock up, have food here, don't depend on restaurants as much, and then pack a picnic, and we have insulated bags and all that stuff, pack a picnic, explore a new beach park, hang out at the beach park, have a picnic there, read our books, go swimming. The boys went surfing a couple days, and just try something new. Now, the cool thing about this, about getting creative, is that you add new things to your experiences, and you have those things moving forward. So when things do get back to normal, if they do get back to normal, then not only do we have all the stuff that we knew before, now we have this whole new set of experiences to draw from, and we can really, you know, tailor our days in a much more exciting way with a lot more variety. So I have found that this is a blessing in disguise, this forcing us to get creative and kind of think about, you know, alternative things to do has led to discovering new things, and it's been a lot of fun. And I've been really enjoying it, to tell you the truth, really enjoying it. And it's been a simpler life. It's been a simpler life here. And there's nothing wrong with that. There really isn't. The five tips again: plan further out than ever. And I mean further out. Learn the rules of the road for each state or country that you're going to. Bring lots of masks, because you will need them in a variety of masks. Get in a patient frame of mind. And get creative. Get creative on how you spend your spare time. And I think you'll probably discover new things. And hopefully you have the same experience that I have, which has been a good one. You go, wow, I wish we would have done this years ago. Well, we're doing it now, and we have it forever. Well, there's been some exciting news since I've been on the road, and this is one that really caught my eye. The Fujifilm GFX 50S Mark II is the least expensive medium format digital camera ever. That's right. This is a note from DP Review. I have the link in the show notes, and you can read the entire article on DP Review, but I'm going to read you some of it right now. Fujifilm has announced the 51 megapixel GFX 50S II camera that at $4,000 is the cheapest medium format digital camera ever released. The 50S II is largely similar to the GFX 100S, but with lower resolution sensor and a lack of 4K video. Relatively compact in size, the 50S II offers in-body stabilization, so very important, with up to 6.5 stops of shake reduction. The system also can be used to create ultra-high resolution 205 megabyte images. The camera has a substantial grip and plenty of room at the top plate for dials and an OLED info display. On the back, you'll find a two-axis tilting LCD with 3.69 million dot electronic viewfinder with the equivalent magnification of 0.77x. The camera has dual card slots with support for UHS-II in both. That's really nice. The 50S II continues to use contrast detect AF, which won't be able to keep up with the phase detect system on the GFX 100S. Similarly, the 50S II top burst speed is just 3 frames per second. The older sensor on the 50S II only supports full HD video, but the quality is good. Its battery life of 440 shots per charge is comparable to full frame models, which are very much the 50S II's competition. It will be available in late October for $3,999 for the body only. But get this. This is really cool. It can also be bundled with the new GF 35 to 70 millimeter f4.5 5.5 to 5.6 weather resistant lens for $4,499. In other words, you get an autofocus weather resistant medium format lens for $500 when you buy it in the kit. Now they're also offering this brand new 35 to 70 for $999, which is still a good deal in the world of medium format. That'll be separate, and you won't be able to get that until late November. However, this lens in this kit and everything still coming in at $4,499 is ridiculous. So as you know, I've been lucky enough to be shooting with the 100S and have really got to know this camera. And it's very much like carrying around a DSLR from a few years ago in terms of heft and size and so forth. But it's mirrorless, and you get all the mirrorless goodies. And the fact that you have that lovely large sensor is very fun. So they now have two lenses at $999, a prime lens and now this zoom lens. And then, of course, I've been talking about that you can use full-frame digital lenses or even vintage lenses with an adapter with these cameras as well, with very good results. So if you've been interested in dabbling in medium format, there has never been a better time to get into digital medium format than right now. And I really like the 100S, and I'm guessing that this 50S Mark II is just as likable. We got a couple signups last week for our first writing workshop. I've been talking about this for a couple weeks now. Writing for artists who want to publish and who just want to get better. And this is coming up in December. It is a four-week workshop. It is a non-fiction workshop, but we're going to talk about how to improve your writing skills for publication on sites such as Medium.com, improve it for your own work, improve it for your blog, and even improve it for the workplace if you happen to be a full-time employee somewhere. And this is going to be so enjoyable. I think December is the perfect time of year. If you're interested in improving your writing skills and having fun while doing so and hanging out with other writers, oh yeah, that's going to be the best part. And having access to Derek's Story Online, where we share our work and our ideas, then just go to thenimblephotographer.com, click on workshops, and you'll see the writing workshop right there. And if you're a Patreon member, remember, you are eligible for a discount. The discount code is on our Patreon site, but if you can't find it, just send me an email and I will shoot it over to you. I am so looking forward to writing for artists coming up this December, and I hope you can join me. This is pretty interesting. What's new in Apple iOS 15? For photographers, and there's a few things coming up in this release that we should see pretty soon. You can read the entire article on Petapixel, and I have the link in the show notes to the entire article. But here are a few things. I just want to tell you, this stuff is waiting for us in the next iOS update. So this will be iPhone photographers, take note. The first thing, text photos. The most useful feature is so simple. How much do you hate the bother of trying to save photos that are texted to you? The old way, put your finger on the photos and wait for the save button to appear. The hope is that it makes it to the camera roll in the Photos app. New way, there's a share tab right next to the photo in the iMessages app and the new shared with you album in your camera roll of texted photos. So this is going to make sharing images via text messaging, iMessaging, so much easier. That's the first feature. Next feature, live text. Apple has added the ability to copy text from a photo and send the words to an email or document, which is incredibly useful if you take pictures of recipes and the like. In other words, take a picture of the sign. That sign can be transferred into text or decoded into text that you can use in notes and so forth. And the author said here, Google added this to Android several years ago. Just saying. Okay, so looks like Apple's doing a bit of a catch-up on this particular feature. The next one, Info Please, and this is fascinating. A new feature that probably won't get much play at first because it's not really totally ready for prime time is an information tab that you can click on under the photo to reveal the download about the artwork, landmarks, pet breeds, flower types, and all sorts of stuff. In my test, I was able to find the breed of a dog shown in the photo as well as a flower type. Some landmarks popped, others didn't. So, wow. So this is using object recognition at a new level. Not only does it recognize, the phone recognize that it's a dog, but it recognizes the breed of dog, and then it will share that information with you, show you a site, whatever, so that you can learn. So you take a picture of a dog and go, I wonder what kind of dog that is. Hopefully this will work and you'll be able to find out. And as the author indicated, this is probably pretty green right now, but this is one of those things that should continue to get better as months and years go on. And finally, this is my favorite one, XF data. More importantly for photographers, we finally get XF information listed in the camera roll. Yay, yay, yay. Which tells us which of the iPhone lenses we use, what our automatic exposure was, and this is fantastic, the file name of the photo. This basic info hasn't been available in previous iOS editions, and it really helps when I want to search for a photo on my computer. Knowing what it's called is a lot more useful than just looking for that photo of the Manhattan Beach Pier. I agree. Now, I do think that object recognition works well in both iOS and macOS, but we just need more XF data. And, you know, we've been having to rely on third-party apps, which I'm still going to use because they provide so much XF data. But just of being able to see in a very quick way, especially the file name and some of the basic specs right there in the Photos app, I love it. So those are some of the new features that are coming in iOS 15, which should be released up the road here before too long. Text photos, live text, info please, and yes, yay, XF data. Right, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. Inner Circle members, a big thanks to the folks that support this community and this podcast month in and month out. If you're interested in becoming an Inner Circle member, then all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Go over to the site, look around, see what you think, and then join us. I think you'll be very happy that you did. And I want to give a huge shout out to our friends at Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of Digital Story. I have some stuff that I'm shooting on this trip that I know I'm going to make prints of. And I'm so happy that I have the paper waiting for me when I get home, because I'll probably be excited and I'll probably want to fire up that printer. That's Red River Paper. Not only do they have the paper stocks and the different sizes and surfaces that you want, but they have all the goodies that go with it, from envelopes to glassine sleeves, to ink for Canon and Epson printers, to tutorials and printer reviews themselves. They also have a wonderful Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper, and a huge thanks to them for sponsoring this podcast. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I'll be flying home here in a couple days. I'm in no hurry to get back, as you can imagine. But I've had a terrific time so far, and if the last few days go as well as the previous days, then this is going to turn out to be a winner. But a lot of the success resulted from the planning ahead and the tips that I talked about in this show. If you're planning a trip, then pay attention, do your due diligence, be prepared, be patient, and I think you can have a wonderful adventure as well and come home with some new images. Until next time, have a great week, stay safe, be creative. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.